Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and we're here today with Dr. David Stoop and Dr. Milan Jurkovich. And
there you go.
There you go. And your calls. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000.
I'm glad you accepted my call. I listen every day.
Now, can we all be friends if I say something a little bit confrontive?
Give it to me straight. I can take it.
It won't be indirect and it won't be flippant. It will be respectful. But I want you to look at this as you have a problem.
I know I'm making excuses.
Love your honesty. Okay.
So you're saying he went from the honeymoon to the honey move?
Whenever you do that, it's a little quick.
Yeah.
Are you wondering, Elizabeth, if you're trapped?
Rather than try to teach them something, I would listen and I would just kind of point out the inconsistencies, the lack of evidence, and some of the social pressure that's there.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham, and I'm here with David Stoop and Milan Jurkovich and your calls. And guess what? I am going to do a little experiment with you two today.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I have...
Did you say uh-oh at the same time I said uh-oh?
He did. He did.
Okay, you have the marshmallow.
For those of you looking on TV, okay, I have a plate with a marshmallow on it. I'm going to put in front of both of you.
Yes.
And a bag of marshmallows. Mylan and I were talking about the marshmallow experiment.
That's right.
Can you tell us a little bit about it? It's pretty amazing. It's on YouTube.
Well, it's a cute experiment where they really investigate and experiment with kids to see how much they can delay gratification and how much they can tolerate the tension of waiting with the temptation in front of them. And there's a lot of adults listening to this show that struggle with the same issue. I want it, I take it, I grab it, you know, right
totally
now.
Totally true.
I don't wait, I don't delay gratification, and I don't say no to myself. So they put a marshmallow in front of a child, close the door, and say, now here's the rules. If you can have that marshmallow now, but if you wait until I come back and you don't eat it, I'll give you two. And they wait and see how many kids can wait until the other person comes back in to have the second one. And the cute part is they film the kids while they sit there and wait. And the kid's sitting there going, dum, 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 dum. And they're staring at it. And the other one is touching it and licking it.
Oh, they are.
And they smell it. And they take the plate and they go... And it's the funniest thing you ever saw.
Some of them, you know, they like pick the insides
out.
So and then they
it.
Like
Turn
cover it,
it
up.
Oh, it's hilarious.
And they just, their faces land on it. Okay, and if that's not bad enough, then I'm watching. And they come in with the Hershey's chocolate syrup. And they pour the chocolate syrup over the top of the marshmallow.
Well, now I didn't see that
one. Oh, yeah. You got to go on to the other YouTubes. It's,
okay.
You know, it's
right.
Amazing. But when you think about it.
Can I eat my marshmallow now?
I'm going to see which one of you can last longer today.
I'll win.
We're going to be in the studio.
I don't like marshmallows.
You don't?
They're too sweet.
Really?
Oh, dear.
You put a lemon there. A lemon? Yeah. Lemon, yeah.
So what were you about to say before we so rudely interrupted you?
No, what did you say? A lemon?
Put a lemon square there and I'll have the same struggle.
Oh, a
struggle.
Lemon square.
Yeah, lemon square.
I like sour better than sweet.
You and Kay love lemon. You guys are so much alike. She's cuter, but you guys are a lot alike. Anyhow, go ahead.
She's cuter.
She is. I said you're a lot alike. She's cuter, but you're a lot alike. Anyhow, Sherry, what were you saying?
Well, we're going to be in the studio all day today for the next 3 hours, so you want the callers to give us a call. But when you think about this in light of temptation... 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it.
Mm.
So what would you suggest as a way out for some of our listeners? Because you're right, Milan, we're all tempted. What would be some of those ways out?
Well, I think you have to share the struggle with somebody, you know, that if I'm in a struggle, it's hard to go a life alone, but a lot of people isolate in pain, and then the little merry-go-round of their mind where they end up rationalizing, I should or I shouldn't, they end up choosing to do it, and they make the wrong choices because nobody reflects back to them another point of view or a caution or a word of admonishment.
And you know, the Lord, go ahead.
Proverbs says run.
I didn't say Very wise.
So if I was really tempted, I would just turn my chair around and not even look at it.
All right.
But the kids don't know how to do that.
Right.
I actually saw one of the kids move their plate all the way to the other side of the table.
Smart kid.
She probably went to Sunday school.
Out of sight, out of mind.
All right. We will be right back for you. New Life Live.
Mm-hmm.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham, and I'm sitting in for Steve Arterburn today. I am here with David Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich and your calls. So I think we should go right to Gloria here. Gloria is actually calling from Gaithersburg, Maryland on the station WAVA. Hey, Gloria.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for calling. I understood you called yesterday and we didn't quite squeeze you in, so thanks for calling back today.
It's okay. It's the right time, I believe.
Yeah. Well, hey, can you share what's going on?
Okay. Well, I don't know how to go straight to the point, but I'll try. And I'm actually trying to make a decision as far as I'm married to my husband going for 4 years now.
Uh-huh.
And I have a son who is 16 years old.
All right.
Who is my husband is not his biological father. And a year ago, he actually assaulted him, whereby we were forced to separate.
Okay.
Who assaulted whom?
My husband assaulted
him. Oh, son. Okay.
Yes, and we've been separated from last year, April, and it's going to be, my husband is asking us to get back together, go back again and live with him. But unfortunately, he's not accepting as far as my son coming along with me.
Wow.
So, yes.
So not only did he assault him a year ago, but he's not wanting him to stay with you and be with you, right? Where is he expecting him to go?
Exactly. And the only thing is, I understand that my son, as a teenager, he's really struggling with so many things, you know, like character-wise. And I've never been with my son for that. I left my country, which is Kenya, when he was 3 years old, and he joined me here in America when he was 13, and that's when I was getting married to my husband. So we've never actually had that relationship. So when he came here, we were trying to build our relationship, but he was still struggling, you know, kind of getting to be here in America. So basically, he's been kind of going through challenges.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Well, actually, what is your question? How can we help you? You said you're making a decision.
My question is, right now, other than just the fact that I'm with my son and trying to make the decision as far as what to do now that my husband wants us to get back together and without my son coming with me.
So is your question, should you get to back together with your husband
without
your son?
What should I do in reference to that? But also, we still have issues as far as our marriage is concerned. So I was just wondering whether, you know, I insisted that we get some counseling and things like that, but he actually does not want to do that.
Okay. Well, let's see.
It seems like your decision isn't an easy one, but it sure seems clear to me that you can't abandon your son.
Correct.
And your husband's unwillingness to do anything to get some help on this says that, you know, nothing's really changed with him. And you know, at best, what I would do is I would just say, you know, I'm not ready to come back together with you until these things happen.
Right.
And my son has to be a part of what I do, and
right.
and put the burden back on him.
Right.
And leave it there. And but take your stand, and you have you have good reason to do that, especially when there's been, you know, that assault that was there, and the fact that he won't do anything to change that on his part. That's to me, that's very disappointing and scary, and makes it very clear what your choice is.
I'm actually a little alarmed, Gloria, about that you're even asking the question. Mm-hmm. Should I go back to an abuser, and should I abandon my son? And somehow you were able to live without your son for quite a while. So that tells me something about you. I don't know the circumstances, and I'm not being judgmental here, but you're used to spending time without your son. Like you said, we're just trying to readjust to getting back together again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's something inside of you that perhaps could let him go again.
Yeah.
See? And I would really work on that. What's more important? You see, if I can even ask the question and consider leaving my son behind to go to an abuser, what is going on inside of my mind relative to what I will tolerate, what I will accept? How desperate am I for care, for somebody to take care of me, for coverage, somebody to provide? What is my desperation level? And I would challenge you to ask that question. What is my desperation level that I would even consider these questions?
Yes. Unfortunately, he feels like I am. I'm selfish that I'm choosing to be with my son at this point, that he really needs somebody to be there for him. And he feels like I should not do that. And based on how the Bible is telling us, he feels like I should go with him and abandon my son.
Well, it's really easy for people to pick and choose the Bible verses they want to.
Talk about selfish.
And when they want to choose them, you know, it's like I'll decide to violate the Bible when I get my temper agitated and I decide to abuse somebody or hit somebody, but then I'll use the Bible as my trump card if I think you're not doing what I want you to do. What I'd suggest to your husband is here, he's a controller. Okay? And odds are his history was pretty chaotic, and so he takes a very non-empathetic view of life. He doesn't really care about people. He has low levels of empathy, and he's highly controlling about his world. I've seen these guys a lot of times in my office, and they simply have no clue as to the pain and the emotions that people feel on the inside. So really, you've got to ask yourself, do I want to go back to a controlling person who, when gets frustrated, only knows how to do one thing, strike out, lash out, be angry? Is that what you want?
No.
Okay, that's what you really need to think through. How desperate am I to go
that's
hook
a great
up
point,
with a controller?
Mylon.
Well, and the other part that I heard you say too, Gloria, he's accusing you of being selfish, and that's, I mean, he's the one who's selfish. You're being the one who's caring, and like you said, Mylon, there's not an emotional sensitivity in this man, and so you're asking for trouble for yourself if you were to go back, because he would probably attack you next.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. What happens when the kid's gone and she's sitting there with this angry controller?
Mm-hmm. And
you know,
I actually
when's
have,
she going to be the target?
We got we just separated. I was pregnant, and he never even cared about me being pregnant or anything like that. But now I have a 8-month-old baby, and that's also a scary.
Well, that you'll put at risk. Cause did you call Child Protective Services since your son was underage? Did
yes,
you report
actually,
all this?
That's why we were separated, because they gave me a choice. They told me we either take your son away if you want to keep your husband.
Yeah. So
you can keep them under the same roof. But even until today, I'm still paying for the fact that I agreed with social services.
Right. So did you hear what
did
Dave?
Right,
yeah, you did the right thing. And
but
did
she
you,
said I'm paying a price.
Yeah.
She didn't say I did the right thing. She says I'm still paying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from my husband, because that's something that I have to hear every day. And I've been told, I've been called selfish, I've been called names because I chose to do that. And
Gloria, why would you go back to a man that's calling you names?
Yeah.
And why would you go back to this man?
I'm not even want to go back, but it's just the pressure that I'm getting. And he's a Christian, but, you know, all the time he will tell me things about the Bible. I'm not being the wife that God had called me to be. And, you know, all those kind of things. And I'm just worried about, I mean, I'm just wondering, am I doing the right thing? And that's why I thought, you know, I would have to talk to somebody just to know whether I'm doing the right thing, because being here trying to protect my son.
The right thing, hey, Gloria, you've heard all three of us. The right thing is to protect your 8-month-old baby and your son. It's not safe to be with him. All right. You are free and released to go and protect yourself from someone who is not safe. And so what would be a good book for us to send off to you? I hope some of the things that we have shared have been helpful. What would be a really good resource for her?
Well, I think of two things. I think one of boundaries.
Yeah, boundaries in marriage.
And if you set boundaries, the last chapter of the book of boundaries says you can expect a fight.
Okay.
And so you're going to get it if you choose to set up boundaries. The second thing is I would recommend How We Love, because we talk about pleasers and victims who get pulled in, like Gloria, into the sway of people's arguments and power and intimidation, and they don't know how to stand up.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Gloria. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
We do care about you.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we are going to, I tell you, amazing. Huh?
It's amazing, but it's so common. The people that get pulled into a victim, controller-victim relationship with controllers. Yeah. And she said he's a Christian. And what we see is a lot of people who come from chaotic childhoods end up becoming either victims or controllers. And then they accept Christ, and I'm glad about that. And they love the fact that they're redeemed and God loves them and there's structure and order. But what happens is they abuse that. And they don't have the emotional and relational wherewithal to become leaders in the Christian church, and they bludgeon people just like this man is doing.
Yeah.
He's bludgeoning
people.
Sometimes
they become leaders and still do the same thing to the staff.
They do that. They become leaders of churches. They become leaders of organizations, and they bludgeon people with God's word. And I'm very much disturbed by that.
Well, thank you for being such bold advocates for her. Hey, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Robin. Robin is here from Annandale, Virginia. She's calling from station WAVA. Hey, Robin.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Glad you called. What's going on?
I just have a question. I'll try to keep it brief. My husband is OCD, and lately he's been asking questions over and over again and not seeming to remember that he asked the question. So by the fifth time, I'm losing my temper. So I want to know, how can I better respond to his questions without getting angry?
You know what happens with somebody like that? What they call it now is brain lock. And it's like there's parts of the brain that say, you know, there's something I'm curious about, and then I ask a question, and then there's another part that's supposed to let it go, and it doesn't let go. They all just keep going. And so one of the things you can do is to divert his attention or his thinking, his thought process, and when he asks the second time, bring up something else, answer the question, and then bring up something else. And see if that doesn't kind of change the pattern for him. It may take a lot of repetitions for you to do that, but every time he asks the second and further question, answer the question, but then ask him something that makes his mind go to some other subject, and see what happens. It's just an interesting technique that they're using now with OCD.
Wow, it's kind of like changing the remote, you know?
Yeah.
Changing
mm-hmm.
the channel.
Yeah.
You know, when it gets stuck. It's funny, that part of the brain, Robin, is called the cingulate gyrus, and it's in the center of the brain. It's actually affectionately, I call it the gear shifter of the brain. Mm-hmm. So when it is working too hard, meaning there's too much blood flow in that area, people get stuck on thoughts. They worry. They get stuck on behaviors. And, you know, they can be oppositional.
They can't shift out of it.
They can't shift out of it. So it might even be worth, you know, along with what Dave is suggesting, to maybe check out, get with a good psychiatrist, or maybe there's some natural supplements or maybe psychotropic meds that might help if that doesn't help long term. Because it really is about helping to calm that part of the brain down because it's just on too high.
Is he on any medication right now, Robin?
He's not on any medication, unfortunately. He has never been to a psychiatrist or a medical doctor.
All right. Well, Robin, this is what's important here. You see, oftentimes families won't create interventions to issues that are serious. And if a person has OCD, OCD is technically in the diagnostic manual underneath anxiety disorders. And so when a person is highly anxious, the left brain, the analysis, thinking, logical, linguistic side shuts down. The right brain gets flooded. And when a person's like that, they can't think. They don't think well. And so they will be repetitive. And so what Dave is saying is really important. But I would also ask him when he is repetitive, what are you obsessing about in your mind? What are you thinking about? And what's making you anxious right now? And let's try to calm your anxieties if there's something that's scaring you. And let's talk about your fears.
Well, you'd be better off to do that at a separate time.
Than at your time.
Because what Sherry's saying is it's like the brain gets too active and doesn't know how to shut down. And then you're just getting him back into all that stuff that's activated.
Yeah.
We will be right back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and we were just talking with Robin, and, you know, I actually had have a lot of folks in my practice that have trauma, and I have a good MD in the area that provides both natural supplements and, you know, psychotropic meds when needed. And I have sent some folks there that have OCD. And one of the folks is doing really well on a cocktail of natural supplements. And actually, the OCD is decreasing. It's weird because she just even feels different to be with her. She doesn't obsess as much.
Right.
And it's like so nice to know that you can change the brain.
Right.
You just need to get the interventions like you were both talking about. It's so important.
And I think it's important to accentuate what Dave was just saying a moment ago. You know, what I was saying, what Dave was saying were two separate things that can both be helpful, but like Dave said, not at the same time.
No.
So I think that's important to accentuate. Again, OCD is a part of an anxious cluster of symptoms that follow anxiety and fear.
Yeah.
And if you can begin to even, and that may be as your point, Sherry, from trauma of some sort, chronic or acute from the past, that the person could be anxious. But find out what it is they're fearful of.
Yep, I agree. Hey, maybe Healing is a Choice might be a good book to send out, you know, because we have to just own our, we have to own our healing.
We have to admit it. And it sounds like he doesn't want to if he hasn't been to a doctor.
That's
or hasn't.
Amazing,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, sometimes people will let things go on and on for a long time.
Not to
and
see
be
a doctor about anything, you know. I don't see a doctor very often either because it's dangerous.
Yeah.
But you can hide OCD from anybody, like a doctor. You go into the office because you're sick or something.
Yeah.
But I think that's where a spouse comes in. They create interventions.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You bet. Well, hey, let's go on to Sherry, who's calling from Boston, Massachusetts, on station WEZE. Hey, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi. Hey,
thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. You are welcome. We're looking forward to hearing from you. What is going on?
So I'll try to condense it as much as possible. I grew up in a home where I was physically and verbally abused by my mom. I always felt a relationship with the Lord. She converted to Christianity, born again Christian, around the time that I was 8.
Okay.
But the behavior continued. We would be one way in church and one way at home. I went into foster homes. I had several traumatic experiences happen there. I kind of went from being a girl that had to be in before it got dark to having a curfew at 12 o'clock at night and found no good stuff there. I got married when I was 19. That ended when I was 26. I have two beautiful sons. And I find myself now at age 33. About 3 years ago, I got into a relationship with a newly divorced man like myself with two children, also with kind of a traumatic background. And as this relationship has gone on, I know that it's not a good one for me, and it's not the best one for my sons, who are ultimately, I try to instill in them a relationship with Jesus, and I try to pray against the things that are plaguing my family, like addiction and childbirth outside of marriage and things of that nature.
So what's happening with the boyfriend now that you say it's not good?
He's an alcoholic.
All right.
He says it's his medicine. He says it's what he needs. And when he gets very intoxicated, he calls me names and, you know, dumb, stupid things that I can't really say. He has cheated on me once already recently. I found that he's looking at porn, and he expressed to me that if he didn't look at porn, he would cheat on me, that I'm lucky that he watches porn because And so, I feel like I'm two people inside, Sherry, because I feel like there's a logical side of me who says, this isn't good for your son, this isn't good for you. But the other side of me, like, I can't just be like, get out. You know, he recently moved in, but it was more because of financial restraints, and he has a separate room than me. We stay in separate rooms. It's really important to me and for my son, that they see that.
Well, Sherry, we so get what's going on and the craziness of that. There is a lot. What's your question? Ask us a question.
I started therapy. I called my insurance company and basically said, I need some kind of help. And I started seeing a therapist, but it's not a Christian therapist. I tried. I just started a book.
Okay, so give us your...
more. My question is, what can I do as a Christian? How can I find my way to be strong enough to be able to say to this person, you're not good for me. You need to leave.
Okay.
I want to be that strong, and I can't find it.
All right.
Well, you know, alcoholics need somebody that helped them maintain their drinking. And so by moving in with you, you know, that's a way of helping him continue to abuse alcohol, because he can now spend the money on the alcohol. That's probably why he doesn't have the money to find a place of his own. That's not an answer to your question. That's just a fact of what you're dealing with now. You've got to get to Al-Anon meetings, and you got to let him know that you're going to Al-Anon meetings. And what I would do is I would there's what are called speaker meetings, and if you call AA, and it's in the white pages of your phone book, and ask him to send you a list of the meetings. I'll send it to you. And find some speaker meetings so you can get educated about what alcoholism really is and what it is to be in a relationship with somebody who is addicted to alcohol. That's where I would begin, Sherry. You've got to understand that. Al-Anon is free. It's based on biblical principles. The 12 steps are based on the Bible. And, that's the starting point. And then from there, Violet and Sherry will give you more information, but I wanted you to deal with that first.
Yeah, well, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back, Sherry. But there is a lot going on, multiple addictions in that case. So we'll be right back and hear from Mylan. New Life Live.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham, and here I'm sitting in for Steve Arterburn with Dave and Mylan. And we want to let you know that we are going to be here for two more hours today, 3 hours total. So give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to hear from you. And we have been talking with Sherry and wanted to come back to Mylan, who had some thoughts to share for her as well.
Sherry, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
You know, it is alcoholism is a real problem, but underneath that, and one of the reasons why we become alcoholics and we turn towards substances is because we're chaotic on the inside and we're disorganized, and on the inside we are very upset, agitated, and we don't know how to regulate our emotions. So our emotions flare very quickly and we become people who struggle to manage stress. We turn to these alcohol substances. You had a very difficult childhood. Undoubtedly so did he. And as my wife says, the more difficult your childhood, the more difficult your adulthood. So what you need to do is you need to come to a place where you recognize your own and his chaotic, disorganized attachment style, and recognize that it's just like that marshmallow thing we were talking about at the beginning of the show. The way I can resist something is by not looking at it. The way I can resist something is by getting help, asking people to help me see, holding up reflectors and mirrors. And you must get into a group that helps you support yourself and your boys move to a higher place where you can rid yourself of people that want to drag you down.
Thanks, Mylan. Hey, so I hope we've shared something there with you, Sherry, that's helpful. What would be a great resource?
Send her a Life Recovery Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about we'll send you out a Life Recovery Bible.
And Changes That Heal as well, because, okay, again, you have to make a choice. Just like Gloria, our first caller, you have to make a choice. Do I want to have the rest of my life be different? And that means I have to do something today.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't get any better over time. Just
let
time deal with it.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. And you know what? With Sherry's husband, it's like there wasn't just one addiction. we had layered addictions.
Layered addictions.
There was the alcohol, pornography. I mean,
that's characteristic of the chaotically attached person. They have layered addictions.
Absolutely. Okay. Interesting.
Just across the board. They'll pick anything that makes their pain go away. And they'll use multiple levels, multiple layers.
Yeah, it was painful to hear her say that her husband said, you know, you should be grateful I'm using pornography. What crazy thinking.
That's the rationalization.
It reminds me.
Epitome of it.
It is.
And it's interesting that her mom became a Christian yet still continued the abuse. So when people say, I want to marry a Christian, I ask the question, well, what kind of Christian? Mm-hmm. It's good that they're saved, but how mature are they? How much have they worked on their stuff? How much have they gone through 12 steps? How much have they really tried to reconcile their past?
Right.
Because just becoming a Christian isn't a waving of a magic wand. Ah, he's okay.
Right.
Or she's okay. It's not the case.
You're right. Well, I just was reading today, the ACLU is actually suing a jail in Southern California because they are wanting to bring in pornography.
Sure.
Crazy.
And the jail's saying no, and the ACLU is suing the jail to let the inmates have pornography.
Yes, to let the inmates have pornography.
That's crazy.
So kind of that crazy thinking, you know, opening the Pandora's box up for all these other things in light of that.
That's kind of where our culture's headed,
You know, and so pornography is a big issue. We see that a lot with the callers that call in. And we've got Every Man's Battle once a month. We have a weekend committed to men all over the country who are struggling with some area of pornography, affairs, as an addiction. We want to help you. We've also created a new program called Wives in the Battle that's going to be kicking up.
And then you're going to be leading that.
I will in September. We're going to be starting that. I'll have the opportunity to share my story because I was married to a sex addict. But we have a clip here that we wanted to share. That Steve and I did in light of just talking about Wives in the Battle.
I want to talk to you, Dr. Sherry Denham, about this new thing that we're doing. It is the Wives in the Battle Conference, and you're going to be teaching it. It's a New Life weekend. Now, tell me just a couple of the topics that you're going to be addressing there with the women who come and hear Wives in the Battle.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've found with women who are living with husbands who struggle with sex addiction is that they have lost their voice. Mm. They have become really passive and complacent. Many of us have grown up in families where we have learned passive rules of life, meaning don't speak your truth, don't share your heart. Don't bring your pain. Mm-hmm. Protect the one that hurts you. Don't share your secret. And so what that does is it keeps the wives small and living beat up rather than walking in strength.
Mm. Boy, just to find your voice.
Find your voice.
Now tell me some other area that you're going to deal with.
Well, one of the things I think is really important is helping to create a safe place for the women to have their wounds bound, right?
Yeah.
We want to help bind their wounds.
Right.
Who better else than women who have also felt the pain of sex addiction? But then we want to not stop there. We want to help them learn how to fight the battle well. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that they learn what to do with their emotions that are raging inside, such as anger, bitterness, guilt, because those things, with the betrayal, those things can take us down as well.
Yeah.
So we want to learn how to move through those really painful emotions.
Now, you say sex addiction. Does my husband have to be a sex addict before I come, or could he just have a little problem with pornography?
I would say if he has a problem with pornography, come, right? If there's been any issues of sexual integrity, because there's a whole range when it comes to sex addiction or sexual integrity. It starts many times with pornography. It can move into prostitutes. It can move into infidelity.
Sure.
It's the whole gamut. And so oftentimes as women, we shrink away from that rather than calling it out, bringing our pain, saying this isn't okay, and then learning how to walk through and get the help and resources we need.
Now, in addition to you, there's going to be a panel of women. What's going to happen with that panel? What are they going to do?
Yeah, the panel are wives who like the folks that are coming, like the women that are coming, have battled, and their husbands have battled, and they are actually walking in sexual integrity.
Okay.
It's wives that have actually gone through the fire and are still in the battle and walking in integrity with their husbands.
Now, did you get interested in this because you read about it in a textbook and you studied up on being in a marriage where somebody's unfaithful?
No. I had a front row seat to it. I am a wife, was a wife of a sex addict.
Mm.
And so I unfortunately, the marriage was lost, but my life was not. God has invited me into fighting for other couples and marriages, and that's where, you know, I am a warrior on that behalf.
You're a good fighter. Mm-hmm.
I am. Well, you have to help women find their voice. But what I'm doing is I'm going to share, bring my heart, bring the pain. It's the toughest battle I've ever fought. And in fighting and helping empower women on how to walk with integrity and to walk according to the standards that God is calling us to, right? God is at the helm.
Yeah.
And I think women often forget that. When all this goes on, we become hurt and depressed and think, where is God in all of this? But he's at the helm, and he's battling for your husband's hearts as well. So I want to help women rise up.
All right. Now, if I'm a woman and my reaction was I went out and had an affair, is this, you know, is my shame going to keep me out of there? Or is this a place for me? Can you help me? Or am I just going to go feel bad about myself in the midst of other women?
I say, come. There is no judgment.
Yeah.
At the Wives of the Battle Weekend, there will be no judgment.
Guilt-free zone.
Guilt-free zone. We are there for you to bring whatever. Bring your pain.
Okay.
We want to hear you. There is a place for you to start your healing.
All right. That is the Wives in the Battle Workshop. It's a New Life Weekend. Dr. Sherry Denham will be the main speaker. There'll be a panel of other women and a lot of other things that will go there. We fly in therapists from all over the country, Christian counselors, to help. It'll be a time of connection with many, many other women. God bless you for even thinking about coming, but do the courageous thing and pick up the phone and say, I'm going to come. I'm going to find a way to do it. It's Wives in the Battle with Dr. Sherry Denham. And you can find out about it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Well, we encourage people to call now. Even though it's starting in September, you want to get in on the ground floor on this because this is an incredible, incredible opportunity for people who are hurting.
Yeah.
Well, Brownie, Sherry.
EMB has been so powerful, you know, to reach people. Now, this offers the other side of the relationship, support to the people who are a part of the battle. And it must be approached as a couple if you want to have real success down the road.
You're right. You're right, Mylan. And you know what? This came out of women calling us, asking, what do you have for us?
Yeah.
What do you have for us? So come. It's for you.
Aren't we proud of her, Dave? Isn't that great?
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing what happens.
We will be right back with New Life.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen. And he's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest.
particularly my relationship with God, I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn and here with Dave and Mylan. Let's go to the callers. Here we have Austin wanting to talk to. Austin is calling from Dallas, Texas.
It's a good thing Austin doesn't live in Austin.
KWRD. Hey, Austin, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling in today. What's your question? What can we help you with?
Well, I guess I am a recovering sex addict. I have, a little bit of background that forced me to address the issue is that I was engaged, and it was actually at Thanksgiving. My fiance at the time, who I had told several times that I was going to fix the problem,
right,
discovered that I had gone from communicating and chatting with women on my computer to on my phone.
Oh.
And so she handed me back the ring and, you know, said that we can't be together until this gets fixed.
Must have been painful for you.
Yeah, and like I went home at Thanksgiving and we were going to have an engagement party and my extended family was there and I had to kind of explain to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for her.
but I guess further, even more background story is that she has actually was previously married and she got a divorce because her husband was abusive.
Okay.
And she actually has two children from her previous marriage.
So in light of that, what's your question for us today?
I guess it's that because me and her had an active premarital sex life.
Okay.
I feel, a lot of anger and resentment towards her as kind of like she was the person who helped facilitate my problem. And I just want to try to get some help on how I can let go of that anger towards her.
Well, it seems, Austin, that if you focus on the anger on her and relating it to your problem, you're avoiding your own responsibility, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because you made that choice, and somehow I think when you're angry with her, you're skipping over the fact that you made that choice to have premarital sex, and I teach and strongly believe that the man is the one who sets the pace in a relationship, and you didn't set the pace the way that you feel now you should have done. So I would just work on taking some responsibility for the fact that you're kind of the one responsible for that.
Yeah, and I would probably echo that and encourage you maybe to come to one of our EMB weekends, because part of true recovery is getting to the point of ownership. And a lot of the guys that come on that weekend, it's such good company in the sense that because they struggle with anger, They mm-hmm. struggle with owning it. There's some blame. It's, you know, and so that may be part of your recovery that you still need to work on.
That's a good point.
Is how to put your arms around it and own it as yours, not something that she was facilitating. So that, you know, in your next relationship, you can have stronger boundaries sexually to be able to say, you know what, I'm not going to be involved sexually, because really for me, that's a path down a whole nother road that's going to pull me away.
Well, and God prohibits it. Prior to marriage, God prohibits sex of any kind with anyone.
Right.
And so really, though, if you realize, Austin, that our job as men, and the title Every Man's Battle is the greatest title in the world, because it describes a reality that I don't care how old you are, it is a battle for every man the rest of their life to learn to create sexual integrity in their life. And it happens even prior to marriage with premarital sex and all that. I know that's a difficult topic. But I want to go back to your question, because your ex-fiance is hypocritical. There is a hypocrisy there, that she would participate in something that God says is wrong and then criticize you for doing something God says is wrong. That she would, you know, find part of it okay and then part of it is not. And so she has to examine herself too. However, you may not be the voice to be able to tell her that. That's her own journey to figure out. Perhaps another lump, you know, another mile, she'll figure that out, hopefully, because she's got two kids that are riding that wagon, okay? But okay. Dave's point is well taken, and Sherry's, own your own stuff, deal with that, and move on.
Well, you know, when you get to the fourth step, it for the addict, it says, I've got to make an inventory of myself.
Right.
Because I've been, you know, there's that tendency in an addiction to blame everybody and everything else.
Yeah.
And so you've got to come to terms with that, Austin. And that's, as Sherry was saying, I think your recovery has some more. I don't know that we ever finish that process.
We don't.
Staying in a place of recovery.
We don't.
The biblical word for recovery is sanctification, and we've never reached that goal. It's a goal that we aim at and work towards.
Well point.
Well Austin, well I taken. Hope something that we said helped. We're going to ahead and send you out Every Man's Battle. I think that would be a great book for you, and really encourage you to come to one of our EMB weekends. I wanted to ask you both, in light of the program and these calls, we're so grateful to so many that listen to us every day. And we wouldn't be able to be here without our listeners supporting us. We are a listener-supported ministry.
We're not advertising supported. We're listener supported.
We're listener supported, which is really different. We have to pay for our airtime. And being the summer months, as June is, it's with everybody traveling and, you know, gas and travels and all of that, it's oftentimes that we might fall off the map. And what we're asking is that you would help to support us. We need 1,000 new people to become members in Club New Life this year. And in the month of June, our goal is 100 new people. So we've got Larry Sonnenberg was chatting with us the other day, and we are kind of in a state of alarm in the sense of we've lost some stations because of lack of funding. In fact, he was saying it's almost like, you know, down at the beach when they have the different flags, they got the red flag, green flag, and the yellow flag. We're in a yellow flag zone, high alert, because of having actually lost some stations. So, what would be something that one of you might suggest as far as somebody today picking up the phone?
Well, I would really encourage people to call and ask about Club New Life. It's the best deal around, you know.
Free books, CDs.
Yeah, and sometimes you wonder, you know, I told them don't send me any of that stuff because I get it when I come in here. But, you know, it's like how do we come out ahead on that? But we do. But it's also the consistency. It's a monthly gift that you give. You know, I give mine. It's just connected to a credit card that I pay off each month. And, you know, it's automatic, and I don't even think about it. It's just and if I'm having a tough month, I can roll it over to the next month in terms of the way I take care of it. But it's easy to do. But I would say call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and talk to somebody about Club New Life and say, what do I get? What do I need to give? And you will be blessed for it, because there's going to be some things coming up too in the fall where there's just some special events for Club New Life members. And I think you'll want to be a part of that.
Yeah, well, we are thankful for so many of you that do listen, and we feel blessed and pray for you, and we look forward to talking to you. God has anointed us to come into your homes and hearts and to help bring the knowledge and wisdom. So we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.